change in seasons, changing relationships, changing friendships, changing careers, changing schools, relocating, changing locations. We have all been through change at some point in our lives. Change is an inevitable part of our lives. And that's what we will be talking about this week. We will look into what the Bible says about it and God's perspective on change. Welcome to Deeply Rooted with me, your host, Sinazo Goss. This is a podcast where we discuss and delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with our Heavenly Father. So thank you so much for tuning in. This is Deeply Rooted. As I said, thank you for being here week in and week out. We believe that your lives are being transformed and positively impacted. And to the new ones, thank you so much for choosing us and listening to us. We trust and believe that your life is also not going to be the same now that you're here. So as I said in the intro, we will be talking about change. Change is something I'm not good with, if I'm being honest with you, because I'm someone who gets attached to the way things are, whether it's in a friendship or certain friends I have, or in a particular school I am, or in a particular career, or where I stay. I'm very much attached to the way reality is, especially if it's somewhere that I've been for a long time, or particular friendships or relationships I've formed for such a long time. I'm very, very emotional when it comes to change. I don't want to say resisting, but for example, I remember when I had to relocate from the Eastern Cape to Johannesburg, it wasn't an easy one for me, you know, especially because I come from a very small town in the Eastern Cape called King Williamstown, as compared to Johannesburg. You know, people who live in Johannesburg or who've been to Johannesburg would tell you that it's a jungle out here. It's really a jungle, and it's a very fast-paced city to stay in with a lot of people. There's a lot of culture shock that you come across when you get here, you know. So it was really, really just a major transformation for me when I moved to this side. So it was something I was looking forward to because I believed that God had a plan, and I was grateful because I had gotten a job opportunity even before I graduated, you know. But it didn't change the nature of who I am. And it's something I'm working through, something I'm still praying about that God helps me with, that change should not be something I resist. It should be something I welcome because, you know, the Bible says in all things we should give thanks. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of the Lord for you in Christ Jesus. So if you're born again and your life is changing, it shouldn't be something that you are resisting. Not to say that it should be easy, because it's not easy, beloved. It's not easy for you to accept that, okay, you know, now this is no longer the status quo of my life. This is no longer the people I have around me. This is no longer the environment I'm in. There's a complete change, whether it's positive or negative, by the way. You know, change is not an easy thing, and it's something that we need to submit to God and bring to the hands of God at the feet of our Father and be honest, you know, because I usually say to people that when we speak to God, when we have conversations with God, or when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we need to talk to him like we're talking to a friend. You know, someone gave me the chair analogy a couple of years ago, telling me that sometimes you don't need to kneel down, you know, or pray using a particular formal language, but sometimes talking to God, you can literally have a chair in front of you, take a chair and put it in front of you and say by faith that God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, sit on that chair, be on that chair, and I'm speaking to you as though you are on that chair. And speak those things by faith. Say that by faith so that when you speak, you feel like God is really listening to you. And you speak in real, raw language, you know. If you want to cry about it, cry. If you have questions, if you're sad, if you're angry, disappointed, you know, open your heart and make it as bare and as raw, as real as possible, you know. So that's the kind of conversation and the kind of relationship we should actually have with God, you know, because there's a scripture in the book of John where Jesus says, I don't call you my servants, I call you my friends, you know. So he welcomes that kind of relationship that we have with him. Not only is he this massive, you know, mighty man of war, strong in battle, Jehovah is his name. Not only is he that, but he's also our friend. He's also our father, you know, he's a parent to us. So he wears many different hats. And in that sense, where, for example, you're someone who's resistant to change, or you're afraid that your life is changing and you're afraid of new seasons, you don't know what they're going to bring. You know, there's something called fear of the unknown. A lot of people, some people may have it, but those things we should lay at the feet of our Father. And we shouldn't be ashamed that we feel like that, because he, our feelings don't overwhelm him. You know, we should just know that he really knows what we feel even before we feel it. So we can lay it bare before him and tell him that, God, I don't like the fact that I feel like this. I don't like the fact that things are changing, but I know that it's necessary. So please walk me through it and help me be toughen up and be strong for it, you know. So what is God's opinion about change, you may ask? And basically, that's what we're talking about today, you know. What is God's opinion about change? So I'm going to refer to certain scriptures when I speak about this. And basically what we do here, you know that very well, beloved, if you've been here for long, whatever we do, whatever we speak, we speak it based on the word of God. We don't speak on hearsay. We don't speak based on what we think, our opinions, our emotions, whatever. We speak based on what the word of God says, because the word of God is God-breathed. You know, there's an episode that I did, you know, previously, that spoke about the importance of us knowing the Bible and referring to the Bible, you know. And one of the things I mentioned there is that scripture is God-breathed. There's a scripture that says so, that all scripture is breathed upon by God and approved and useful, you know, for correcting, for teaching, and for all those things, for all other things, you know. So we check the Bible, because that's where we understand God's opinions, God's heart, God's mind, on different things and different topics and everything and everyday things that we go through, right? So the first scripture I'm going to refer to is the book of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. It reads as follows. See, I am doing a new thing. In fact, before it gets to verse 19, verse 18 says, let me continue reading verse 19, actually. It says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. See, let me read it again. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Right? So this is God speaking through the mouth of prophet Isaiah, right? And before he gets to that, before God says that, verse 18, which is before 19, says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. And then goes on to say, see, I am doing a new thing, do not perceive it, it springs forth. I will make streams in the desert and streams in the wasteland, basically. I'm paraphrasing, right? So the main thing here that we're realizing, I like how it starts at verse 18 to say, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. So this is a big theme in the Bible, you know, in different times and in different contexts in the Bible. Not looking back, not remembering former things, not dwelling on the past, you know. God is very strict when it comes to him moving you from a certain, you know, chapter of your life to the next. He doesn't want you to keep looking at what has gone by, what has gone past, you know. I mean, there's nothing wrong, for example, with reflecting with the purpose of, you know, remembering that, you know what, I've grown. Like, let's say you were at a different school and now you want to move to, in fact, or maybe you've gotten a new offer to go study at another school, right? There's nothing wrong with, like, reflecting on the memories that, oh my goodness, I had good friends, I had a good time. Or even if it was not good, actually, for you to say, you know, hey, yeah, I went through the most, you know, this school wasn't really great. There's nothing wrong with, like, looking back where you come from, but the problem is dwelling, you know, because, I mean, verse 18 says here, you know, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, you know. So there's nothing wrong with you thinking, especially like in early days where the change has happened and you have moved, you know, to a different school, or maybe a friendship has ended, or a relationship, you know, has just gone south or whatever, you know, or you've fought with someone in your family or anything of that nature, you know, and it happened that it didn't progress, or it got to a point where you can see that it's ending. There's nothing wrong with you thinking about, you know, the conversations you had with these people or with this person. But the problem is where you dwell there, and now you're in a different state, you're at a different school, you're in a different town, different city, and different friendship maybe, or different church. You've had to change churches for whatever reason. There's nothing wrong when you think of these things, like think of the past and think that, okay, you know what, I actually remember this, but don't dwell there. Don't make it your place of residence, because there's a reason why God made sure you move from there to where you are. There's a reason why the change has happened, you know. So more than anything, over and above, just know that God is very strict about not looking back. And pray about it. And I know, especially like someone like me who gets attached, as I said at the beginning, I'm someone who gets attached to the way things are, whether it's a friendship or it's a place where I've been staying or working. I get attached and get used and accept that, okay, you know what? This is the current state of my life. And I don't like change, you know? So sometimes I see myself being trapped, or the enemy tempts me to look back or to constantly be looking back. But the Lord has had to put me in check many times to say that, Snazo, remember, there's a reason why you're no longer there anymore. There's a reason why you're in a new chapter or a new season or a new state in your life, you know. So forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. If you're looking at the past, it should be as a way to bring glory and honor to God, that, you know what, God, I'm actually free. If it was a bad place where you were at, let's say a bad job or a bad school, bad environment or bad friendship, relationship or whatever, when you look back, it should actually be to thank God that, you know what, God, you've been with me from that time until now. You haven't left me. I've seen your hand upon my life. You know, it's not for you. It shouldn't be for you to look back and hold on to the past, hold on to the people, you know, that are no longer there, hold on to how things were. It shouldn't be for that. We should be people that are forward looking as believers, you know, forgetting the former things. And we should pray about that. You know, it's something I'm praying about, and the Holy Spirit and God is really helping me, you know. He's really helping me, you know, bit by bit, you know, to say, okay, my child, we're doing it like this, we're doing it like this. And he gives me the strength each and every time where I feel like, you know what, now I'm seeing that I could be backtracking or something could be happening that is making me look back. Then God gently leads me, you know, he gently leads me to forward looking. So God is a merciful God like that. He guides us, especially when you're honest with him and you tell him that, God, I find it really hard to look forward and just accept that, okay, this is the new season I'm in, right? He really helps us. He's a helper. You know, Jesus said he will send us another helper, who is the Holy Spirit. And when you get born again, or when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior and prioritize your relationship with God, you will literally see how the Holy Spirit helps you. You should pray that you have the Holy Spirit and that he helps you and that he gets activated. His power gets activated at the moments where you need him most. For example, when it's hard to forget about the past, when you're tempted to look back at the past, you know, so we should be believers that are forward-looking. We should forget the former things. We should, you know, look forward. And then verse 19, God says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. This is actually one of my favorite scriptures, beloved, because it shows God's character and one of the things that God specializes in, you know, because God specializes in new beginnings. God specializes in new beginnings. God loves new beginnings, you know, as much as it hurts for us, change hurts for us, you know, having to leave friends behind, having to leave, you know, family behind, you know, having to leave a church, you know, being integrated to a new one, new job, new school. For us, it hurts, but God has great plans for us. Like when you give your life to Christ, that is one of the life hacks that I can give to anyone, actually, giving your life to Christ, accepting him as Lord and Savior, because you know that no matter what happens, no matter what change happens in your life, no matter what season changes, you can rest assured that when you're a person who's a recipient of God's promises, you're someone who is someone that is going to see, that has no choice but to see goodness and mercy following them, that has no choice but to see scriptures like, for example, Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, where God says, you know, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. You know, another word that is very important, you know, that scripture in Jeremiah speaks of future and hope. So God is very, he loves, he's a God of new beginnings. He's a God in the unknown. He's God in uncertainty. As much as it stresses us out because we don't know what's going to happen, and, you know, it's very stressful to us when we have to, you know, turn the page or close a certain chapter, open a new one. It's so hard. It's so difficult for some of us. But for God, it's actually an opportunity for him to show us that he's actually a God of new beginnings. He's actually a God who does new things. Because here in verse 19, again, he says, see, I am doing a new thing. Before he says that, he says, do not remember the past. Forget the past. Don't dwell on the past, you know, because I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I have a feeling that when he said, do you not perceive it, it's because people these were people that were uncertain, you know, people that were in the unknown, that were like, you know what, it's better to be where I knew how things were, you know, but now I'm stepping into new territory and I don't know what's in it for me, you know. I'm pretty sure that's why God said, do not perceive it. And then he says, I am making a way in the wilderness. He understands that sometimes change, you find yourself feeling like you're in the wilderness. The wilderness, I imagine it like a desert, you know, desert where water is a rare commodity, you know, where you're just like you're in the middle of nowhere, you know, because you literally are in a new chapter. There's been change that has happened in your life and you don't know what's going to happen, right? So God says, I am making a way in the wasteland and streams. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, meaning God doesn't only promise us a new thing that he's doing. Yes, he says he's doing a new thing, but he promises us that in that new thing, in that wilderness where there's uncertainty and unknown, where like in the state of unknown or in a season of uncertainty, in a new chapter that you don't know what brings for you, God says, I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And you know, when you envision or when you imagine streams, it's like overflowing water, you know, water that doesn't end, like streams and streams and streams in the wasteland where it seems like there's uncertainty, where it seems like it's in the middle of nowhere, you know, it's a new chapter, you know, the people that you were used to are gone, you know, you feel alone sometimes, you know, sometimes change makes you feel like, you know what, I'm all alone and I don't know what's going to happen, you know. So God says in those chapters, I'm going to be there with you. You're not going to be alone. I'm the one who's ushering you into this new season. And as I'm ushering you into this new season, I'm going to make sure that there are streams in this wasteland. You know, you won't be high and dry. I will make a way. Even if it's uncertain, even if now you're in the unknown, I will make a way. So God is a God who makes a way. He's a God who specializes in new beginnings. He's a God who does new things. And he's a God that wants us to be forward-looking. So, for example, I quoted Jeremiah 11:29, where he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to bring you a future and a hope." You know, so God is a very forward-looking God. He's not concerned about the past, and that actually also applies to your past. You know, things that you've done in your past, or the past life that you lived before you came to Christ. You know, or things that you struggle with. You know, someone said recently that the lovely thing about God is that you can always start over with God at any time. You literally have every opportunity, many opportunities in a day, as long as you're alive and breathing, you're able to say, okay, you know what? Now I want to start over. I want to start over. I want to have a new life. I want to follow God. I want to give my life to Christ, you know. So God promises us a future. God is not fazed about the past. In fact, he can take your past, no matter how bad it is, and work it around for your good. Work all things for your good. You know, there's a scripture that says so in Romans 8:28, that he works all things together for our good, whether good or bad things that have happened to us, or bad things we've been through, you know, bad things we've done. He can take them and work them around for our good, you know, because he's a God who has a future prepared for us. He has new things prepared for us, streams in the wasteland prepared for us. So for God, the unknown for us might be sad, especially like if it's the end of a friendship or whatever type of relationship that you've had to let go and just surrender or just close that chapter. For God, that is an opportunity for him to show you that he is God in the unknown. He's God in the uncertain. He's God of uncertainty. He's the God in uncertainty. He's God in uncertainty. He's God in the unknown. He's God who creates, who does a new thing. And we should trust him. When we have to change or there's a change that has to happen in our lives, we should trust that he's a God who specializes in doing a new thing. And even if it feels like a wilderness, you feel alone, but he creates streams. You know, he makes streams in the desert, in the wasteland, in the wilderness. He makes a way in the wilderness, and he's a God who promises a hope and a future. You know, no matter what lies behind you, I mean, whatever you're leaving behind you, or whatever chapter you've closed, or whatever thing you've moved from into a new change, just know that that doesn't matter to God. What matters is the future and who you entrust it to. Hence, you should entrust it in the hands of the Lord, because God has a future for you. He has future plans, good plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. You know, he's a God who makes streams in the wasteland. He's God who does a new thing, you know. And another part in scripture that actually shows us the importance of not looking back and just focusing and being forward-looking when a change is happening is a part that was written by Paul. So Paul is one of the disciples that preached the gospel in the world, you know, in different parts of the world, actually. He preached to non-Jews, so people that were not Jew, people that were not Israelite mostly, right? So here, it's in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Right? So just to give this a little bit of context, Paul went through the most, like in his ministry, you know, he went through persecution. He was arrested a lot for just preaching the message of Christ, you know. So here, and in fact, even before he became a disciple and a messenger of Christ, he used to be someone who persecutes the church, and he used to murder Christians, you know, because he was very anti-Christ. But God had mercy on him, and he was won into the kingdom and became one of the greatest evangelists of all time, you know. So here he says that he doesn't focus on any of that. And I mean, we know how things are, and we know how people are, because some people, you know, like to remind you of your past life. And I'm sure, in fact, I actually think there is a part in scripture where, you know, when he came to the disciples, some of the disciples actually ran away from him because they know that this guy is a persecutor. But then they hadn't realized that he actually had an encounter with God where he gave his life to Christ and he became now an evangelist, right? So people like doing that, you know, like reminding you of your former life or of your past life, you know, but in this particular scripture, he's saying that he is not focusing on the past. He is looking forward, you know. For example, it says, let me just read it one more time. "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus," right? Highlighting the part that says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. That goes back to the previous scripture we were analyzing. You know, Paul says, I know that there's a lot of things that have happened in the past. I was also not Christian in the past. I didn't act right in the past. This and this and this happened. I went through persecution maybe while I'm here in my Christian journey, in my journey with Christ. But I'm not remembering all of that, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, right? Meaning that in his journey, he's just focusing to win the final prize. And the final prize, beloved, is literally, you know, when God ends this world, when the world comes to an end, the final and greatest, the final and greatest prize is God saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You know, above all things, above him having a good future for us. But as believers, as people that are walking with Christ, the main thing, the main prize we should all strive towards is living a life worthy, living a life that honors God, so that at the end, when we reach the point where we meet God, because, you know, that's a whole topic on its own, but there will be a time where we meet God face to face. The main thing that we should look forward to should be that handshake and that well done from our Father. You know, so that's what he says. You know, it's another thing that shows us that it's important for us as believers to forget the past, forget what is behind, and strain towards what is ahead. You know, so we should pray about it, beloved. I know it's not easy, especially if, you know, what is behind us, you know, is painful and it's something that is, you know, that has caused us trauma, you know. It's not easy, and it's not to say we should sweep those things under the rug. Absolutely not. Like, if it's a wound or it's a scar or it's a trauma, you need to look at it and deal with it, you know. Ask God to heal you, you know. Talk to God. Tell him about it in prayer, you know. If it needs therapy, go to therapy. There's nothing wrong with therapy. Nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with therapy. It doesn't substitute the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does a job that no therapist can do, right? But a therapist is licensed, and sometimes you have to speak to someone in front of you, right, in order for you to overcome, you know, the scars or heal from the scars that you've been through, you know. So That's very important. So by all means, we need to heal from traumas of the past. And if there are things that are unpacked or undealt with from the past, we need to deal with them with God in prayer, you know, through the word and actually looking at what the word says about what you've been through. And also the tools and the healing that God offers in his word, the comfort that he offers in his word. Because, I mean, the Holy Spirit is described as our helper, our comforter, our counselor. You know, so he's the greatest counselor above all counselors you can ever see. You know, whether there's a counseling center at work, at school, yes, please, by all means, go to that. Go, like, you know, make use of those services that you've been given, you know. So please do, by all means, because sometimes you need like a physical person in front of you to talk to. But do not neglect your prayer room. Do not neglect, you know, making use or taking advantage of the fact that you've been given the Holy Spirit, who is the greatest comforter, greatest physician, greatest healer, greatest counselor. So that is absolutely very, very important. So above all things, in new beginnings, when change happens, do it with God and ask him to reveal what he wants to do in this season. And he will. You know, when I came to Joburg, I didn't know. I literally didn't know that I would end up doing a podcast. I didn't know that I would end up, you know, meeting the people that I've met. I've met amazing people. You know, I recently interviewed the greatest icon in gospel music, you know, Bishop Benjamin Dube. I never, ever imagined that would happen, but it did, you know. So ask God to reveal what he wants to do and just ask him to heal you from what you left behind. As I said, you know, pray to him so that when you look forward, you really look forward. You don't look back to dwell there, because I think another thing that makes us dwell there is just the unbelief of what you went through, if it was a bad change that you're leaving, you know. So ask him to heal you from what you left behind. And sometimes we want to check in, but please don't check in. Don't look back. The only time you should look back is when you want to thank God and say, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for the progress. Thank you that you've been with me from that time until now. And remember Lot's wife. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible where Lot and his wife were told to flee a certain place, and they were told to not look back. And Lot's wife actually looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. So there's just, and also there's a part in the New Testament that says we should remember Lot's wife, you know. And when we remember Lot's wife, that actually means remember that you should not look back. Don't be like her. That was a lesson to us, that when God rescues you from somewhere, or when God tells you it's time for a change, don't constantly check in, because you might also lose sight of what God is doing right now. You know, and there's also a scripture that says in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 62. Is it verse 62? I'll check that now. But it's Luke chapter 9. It says, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." You know, so it really shows how strict God is about this, beloved. It shows that he doesn't want us looking back. He wants us looking forward. He doesn't want us to be people who are fans of the past. He wants us to be fans of the future, you know. And if there are issues and you're tempted to look back, be honest with God about that, and he will help you to be someone who is forward looking, you know. So there's grace for it. And more than anything, ask God to give you strength to accept the change, because sometimes one thing that helps us to be forward looking is accepting that, you know what, that past is dead, you know, that chapter is closed. And now we're in a new era. It's new things, and God wants to do a new thing in my life, you know. So just pray to God. God is a merciful God, full of grace, who wants to help us, who wants us to be honest with our struggles, even if it's struggles with looking back. He wants to help us. He wants to give us the strength, you know, and the enthusiasm of the new thing that he is about to do. So more than anything, pray for it. Pray about it. I'll pray with you as well. And just remember that sometimes change is really a good thing, and God wants to blow your mind. You will see a particular aspect, a facet of God's character that you've never seen in your past life or in your previous chapter. You know, you will see that in the new chapter. So that's why sometimes you have to turn the page and start a new chapter, so that you see God in a new way that you've never, or that you've never dreamed you would see him, you know. So that's what I have for you this week, beloved. I believe that you were blessed. I believe that you will be blessed. And I'm praying for you. I'm praying for anyone and everyone who's going through change. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. God's plans are to prosper you. He has a future for you. He's doing a new thing in your life. And he will create streams in the wasteland. You know, he's God who wants us to be forward-looking. Anyway, thank you so much for subscribing. Thank you for, you know, sharing and telling people about Deeply Rooted. We are growing immensely, immensely as a family. So thank you so much. Don't forget to check out other episodes under the under So It In Live. We've got the SL Cabinet, we've got Taking Rams by the Horns, and many others. So be sure to check those out as well. Until next time, you are loved, you are treasured by your Heavenly Father. God bless.